We're in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. We're looking at that. This is actually a very familiar text. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to live and followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following the desires, its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages we might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, but through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. This is God's word. You pray with me. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would flow through this place, that you'd open our hearts and minds to all that you would receive for us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing to you, O God. We ask all this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, so we're getting to know each other fairly well over the past few months, and some of you may have learned through conversation or just maybe sitting together that I love coffee. I just do. I think I've grown to love it even more since we've moved to Canada. I don't know. In Rocky, we would often stop what we were doing at 10 o'clock for coffee time. That was the first time that I had experienced that, and I thought it was great. All right, I get to put my feet up and have a cup of coffee for a few minutes and shoot the breeze with everyone. This is great. I could do this all the time. And I used to, as I kind of worked a day job before I went into ministry full time, I used to kind of doctor up my coffee quite a bit. Used to put lots of cream, lots of sugar in it. But even that day job was, well, sometimes like ministry where I'm sitting on my butt all day, not doing much. Worked in an office. And so I figured, man, I probably need to do something about those kind of empty calories that I'm taking in. And so eventually, I started drinking my coffee black, and I drink a lot of it. So I thought that was really, really kind of important. I'll typically go through a pot a day if you let me, which is probably bad, but that's okay. As we kind of come here this morning, we kind of come with these sort of ideals of a lot of different things. And one of those ideals that we seem to have an understanding of is grace. We tend to think of grace a lot like coffee. We think of it as this substance that we get. And that sort of helps us along, helps us to do what we could already do ourselves. I like coffee, and I'm sort of a morning person, not completely, but sort of a morning person, and I can do a lot of things in the morning, right? Many of us can. But we also like to say, many of us would say, that I can do a lot of things in the morning, But I can do a lot of things better with a cup of coffee. And we tend to think the same sort of way about grace. I can do a lot of things, but I can do things a lot better with grace. There's a couple of kind of key phrases that floated around at the time of the Reformation and before, maybe still in the Catholic Church. There's this understanding that of grace, that God would never deny his grace to those who do what is within them. This is in some ways a genesis to the phrase that we're probably a little more familiar with, that God helps those who help themselves. That's maybe a more familiar phrase. Well, my goal this morning, if I can just make it absolutely clear, is to completely destroy this metaphor. If this is your understanding of how grace works, that is, it's a means or an additive or substance given to us in our lives that helps us to do what we could already do better, then I hope and pray that you will walk out with a much bigger picture, a much deeper understanding of what grace is. Because grace is everything. In order for us to sort of dig in and get going, I want us to sort of see, or I want to give you a working definition of what grace is, of what I believe Scripture says grace is. Scripture reminds us that grace is unmerited favor, or undeserved favor, in our case, of God. That is, the undeserved, unmerited favor of God. And our text this morning from Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul kind of gives us maybe the biggest and most profound picture of what grace is and how it works in our lives. You see, to truly understand what grace is, we have to understand what our true and natural spiritual state is without grace. What is our natural state without grace? The Apostle Paul paints us a pretty strong and kind of bleak picture of what we are without it. He says, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. Now, this is a picture that is in stark contrast to how we may understand culturally what our state is. It's a stark contrast to it. You see, if I were to ask you the question, and it has been asked many times, if I were to ask you the question, are we, that is people, humanity, are we born basically good? If I were to ask you that question, it would be such an important question because it is really a picture of how we understand ourselves, but also how we understand grace as well. And if you were to answer that question, yes, that is, yes, we are born basically good, I mean, that says everything about how you understand people and how you understand grace. You see, if you answer that question, yes, we are born basically good, then you have to sort of take the assumption that there has to be an outside force acting upon us, causing us to do the wrongs or evils in our lives. Because we don't have it in ourselves to do evil through our own nature. If you believe we're born basically good. So that means if an outside force acts upon a person, it's not because the person is inherently bad. It's because of their situation, their circumstance. Maybe they had a bad upbringing as a kid. Maybe they grew up in poverty. are dealt with lots of outside influences causing or influencing their decisions. That's the assumption you have to sort of take if you assume that people are born basically good. In other words, we would, if we're seeking to serve a person, more often than not, if that's our understanding of human nature, then we're working hard to change their circumstances, to bring them out of a bad upbringing, pull them out of poverty, or whatever else it might be that is influencing their behavior. So that's one way that this assumption affects how we look at people, but it also, as I mentioned, affects how we understand grace as well. Think about this. If we are born basically good, then it makes sense. It makes absolute sense for grace to just be some additive in our lives, something that helps us to do better what is already inside of us, what we could already do ourselves. I can do a lot of things well, but I can do them a lot better if you sprinkle a little grace on me. But the Apostle Paul paints a much, much different picture. You see, the problem with assuming that grace is just some additive in our lives, the problem with assuming that we are born basically good, is a complete misunderstanding of what sin is and what it has done to us in our lives. I want you to think back to the very beginning of the scriptures, those Sunday school lessons you probably remember. Think back to Genesis chapter 2. God put Adam and Eve in the garden to care for it, to live, to enjoy his creation. And when he did that, he gave them one command. He said, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Now we know from that story that they eventually did eat from that tree. We also know that they didn't die, at least a physical death in that moment. But instead, what happened was they died a spiritual death in that moment. They died an immediate spiritual death. And that's a death, a spiritual death that remains in us even today. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is pointing at when he says, "You are dead in your trespasses and sins," in verse 1. See, we are spiritually dead people. We are spiritually dead in our sins. And spiritually dead people cannot be born good. That's an entire aspect of our nature that is numb, that is dead, because we've committed cosmic treason against our Creator. And so if our spiritual state is dead, then grace just, it can't be as we typically may think of it, as some additive in our lives, as coffee given to us in the morning, some substance that we intake. Think of it this way. You can give coffee to a dead guy as much as you want. You can open his mouth, pour it down his throat. You can pour it all over his body all you want. But the fact of the matter is that dead guy is still going to have a bad day because he's dead. If we are dead, then grace needs to be something so much more than just some substance given to us. See, what we need is spiritual resurrection. And nothing less. Spiritual resurrection. Maybe the most powerful and impactful word in all of the scriptures is found in this text. It's so powerful because it shows us that grace is so much bigger than we could have ever imagined. It's so much bigger because we are so much worse off than we ever could have imagined or would ever want to admit. But God, the most beautiful Greek word that you would ever want to hear, the word day. Day, but God. A little tiny conjunction that turns out to be one of the greatest turns that you will ever find within the scriptures. Because after Paul has painted this dark, bleak picture that we are dead in sin, that we are spiritually dead people, by nature, by our very natures, deserving God's wrath, but God, being rich in mercy, but God, who is rich in mercy. See, I spoke of us needing a spiritual resurrection. And that is exactly what grace is. Grace is a spiritual resurrection given to us in Christ. Chosen before the foundations of the world, raised up with Christ, verse 6 tells us. Grace is this beautiful picture, this beautiful picture of what God has done to renew us and to join us into right relationship with Him by virtue of Christ's work on the cross. You see, grace is not just some substance given to assist us. Grace is a part of God's character that He shares with us. It's part of who He is. And you have to see the beauty of this. You have to see this, and you have to center yourself on this. Think about this. If grace is a free gift, as Paul says here, given through Him and by Him, then we as Christians who rest in that grace have no room to boast. Because it's not because of anything that we have done. You see, your salvation is just simply an extension of God's character working in you. This deep understanding of our what grace is allows us to look at it and understand that why would we brag about something that we haven't done? See, the beauty of grace is it's a picture that should keep us completely and wholly humble as Christians, because we know that it's a free gift given completely and fully by God. Secondly, if we understand grace in this deeper way, this much, much deeper way, it allows us to see people in a whole new light. It allows us to see people in a whole new light because we see the depth of sin in this world. It allows us to look at people's situations and see that people deal with things as a result of sin. And we should do everything in our power, everything that God would call us to do, to draw people out of poor situations, of poor circumstances. But we know those are caused by sin in a sinful world. But it also allows us to look at the individual. It allows us to see that Each and every one of us is a person in deep need of God's grace. We need to be changed as individuals, not just drawn out of our situations. See, this deep understanding of what grace is knows that we need God to work in our situations, but also in our hearts as well, resurrecting us, giving us new life. And that new life can only be given through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only thing that can change our hearts. Which leads me to my final point. If grace is this deep, if grace is this needed in our lives, if it's an aspect of God's character that is shared with us as a free gift, then God's love is greater and larger than we could ever imagine. It's far greater than we could ever imagine because we were at one time children of wrath, by our nature deserving God's wrath, nothing else. Yet in His mercy, but God, being rich in mercy, sent His Son, Jesus, while we were enemies, while we were His enemies, to pay the penalty we deserve. See, many of us get that in some way. We understand and get to the point where we can accept and see that we have a deep need for grace in our lives. But so often we get to that point, but we forget that while grace is a free gift to us, it was an incredibly costly gift to God. It was a costly gift because Jesus Christ, God's Son, had to die to reconcile us in right relationship with God. Our sins had to be placed on Him, and God poured His wrath on Jesus so that we don't have to endure it. Grace was costly to God. Nothing comes for free. And yet Jesus paid the price for us. And with that knowledge, knowing that, why then wouldn't we want to turn and give everything to the God who was so gracious, who took the punishment Himself and restored us to right relationship with Him? See, His grace is enough. The work Jesus did was enough. It doesn't matter that we were not born good. See, because He makes us that way. He makes us good. Sometimes we feel unworthy of this love, unworthy of this grace. But the truth is, none of us are. None of us are worthy of this grace. But that's the beauty of it as well. Because it's not our worth that gives us this grace. It's His. It's Jesus' worth. He makes us worthy. You see, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. And that's such a beautiful thing because it takes the pressure off. We don't have to seek His approval. We just have to live and love and serve Him because Jesus has set us free from sin and death. Do rest in His grace. Do you see the beauty of his love? Greater than we could have ever imagined. I hope that's the case. It's a free gift. Free grace. The very nature of grace is undeserved and unearned. Is that what you trust in today? Let's pray. Father, your grace is enough. Your Son and his work was enough and is enough even today. We thank you so much for these truths, these reminders that were just rediscovered in the Reformation. Because they're reminders that remind us that it is all about you. All about the work that you have done. So Father, as your people, we rest in your grace. Thank you so much that it is a free gift. May we rest in it each and every day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.